Why is it that ice cubes sound a little bit different every week? Does it have to do with the Zodiac?
I think it's our hard water.
So, well, ice is hard water, Damien. You're right about that. Well, boy, that was kind of a snotty way to start, and I'd like to apologize. Can we start over? I like you.
Are we? How far back is that going?
This is a short-term retroactive apology. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's all we're covering. I'll take it.
Okay. I'll take it.
I would start. I would if I were you. Oh, hi, everybody. Welcome to our podcast number 24, the yet-to-be-named, possibly named, Return of Stargoon podcast. It's exciting for us. It's not exciting for anybody else, but it's my podcast, and I'm excited about it, so I'm going to tell you about it. It's possible that tomorrow we're going to get a boat. Is it a good boat?
It's not a good boat.
No, it's not a good boat. That's why it's free. We're possibly getting a free boat on Craigslist because we're the greatest parents in the world, and we have this stupid plan. We have a stream in our backyard.
This is a really stupid plan.
It's a terrifically stupid plan. It's a monumentally stupid plan. And we're going to get some big, heavy chains, and we're going to attach the chains to the boat on both sides of to trees on both sides of the stream.
Yes.
And it's going to be a happy childhood, instant happy childhood.
It's an on-the-water clubhouse.
Yes. Because we've tried a few times.
I think it has a little cabin, this boat, really? I think. It's in need of restoration, and it has no motor.
Excellent.
So it's comes with a trailer.
That's amazing, because we actually have a boat that we actually like floating in, but we don't have a trailer for it, so that makes floating hard. It makes getting to the lake hard for the boat.
I think this is, it's not the dumbest thing we've ever done.
No, we can talk about the dumbest thing we've ever done next time,
yes.
If you want to, if it seems appropriate to you. Here's another dumb idea.
Yes.
Facebook, for those of you who, like me, spend most of your life on Facebook, may have noticed that you can now attach GIFs or GIFs, as you prefer, depending on how much
GIFs.
You think about this.
I think this. They're called GIFs.
Yes. Okay. GIF we can. Well, you can, right in the comments, you could just add, you know, a little movie picture thing, right? So people are doing this thing where they say, think of a word that describes me and put that into the search bar of the GIF and then post it and don't tell me what it is. And I said, it's very funny and everything. And I'm thinking these are for people who aren't starting every day finding out what strangers think about them. Like, who wants more of that? And the reason, what...
I think you should be closer to your mic.
I should be closer to my mic. Yeah. Okay. Well, the reason that I thought of it is because I started writing for America Magazine after, I wrote for the Register for about 6 years, and I eventually caught on that I shouldn't spend that much time in the comment box, but it took me a while to learn my lesson. And boy, people were mad at me. I was a pinko. I was a liberal. I was a, I loathed my own femininity, and...
all true.
Sure. I mean, if you met me, you would also loathe my femininity. But now that I'm writing for America Magazine, it turns out I'm a tightly wound, uptight, judgmental.
You're a double Hitler.
I'm super double Hitler. It's true. And, well, I'm still writing pretty much the exact same. I only have like 4 or 5 things to say, folks, you know. And I say them over and over again with different punchlines. But... So if you have something that you want to say to me about what I'm like, just keep it to yourself.
Yeah, no GIFs. Yeah, or GIFs.
No GIFs. No Collins. No, you can... I found out today that since I updated my blog, when people press the contact button and send me a message, it doesn't get to me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I know. I just found out there's a huge backlog of people who are very kind and polite and have wonderful, interesting things to say, and I've just been stone-facedly ignoring them without realizing it. So summer's off to a good start.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, speaking of off to a good start, I have here a note that says Damien has a story that is a semi-doozy.
It's not really, it's barely a story.
Okay, that's my favorite.
Like, semi-doozy doesn't even come
close. Is it a hemi-doozy?
It's a thing, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. I'm trying to downplay it. Just sort of a weird observation. Mm-hmm. I was between assignments the other day, going from one town to the next, and I had kind of a lot of time between assignments. So I stopped off to sort of window shop at this gun store. It's mm-hmm. like this huge gun store. It looks like a log cabin.
Sure.
And it's two floors, yep. What have you. And on the ground floor is all the ammunition, and on the top floor are all the guns. So I'm just like wandering around, just looking at stuff. And if you ever have the chance to go to a gun store, do so, because you are going to come across the nicest, most polite and knowledgeable people working in retail ever.
Except for Dick's Sporting Goods.
That's not really a gun store.
No, it's not.
But I'm talking like a straight up actual, like, you know, Vern's ammo and fly fishing. Those guys, they know their stuff. It doesn't matter if it's a part-time clerk or the owner. They're all really super nice, patient, and they let you handle anything. It's great. Anyway, okay. So I'm wandering around. I'm looking at the shotguns, and there's this guy at the counter. He's this big goober. And he's talking to the clerk, and the clerk is being really patient and polite. And he's like, "Oh, let me see that gun. That was the one in Terminator 2, right?" And then the clerk's like, "I don't know. You like movies?" "Yeah, I love movies." And they just like going off, like, "Oh, this is the gun that the snipers use in Iraq, right?" And the clerk said, "Well, I was over there." And he's like, "Oh, did you see any action?" And the clerk said, "Yeah, I was shot in the face and I was shot in the back." And you can see just below his eye on his cheek, he's got a like a divot there.
Oh my gosh.
"Oh, thanks for your service. Hey, isn't that the gun that Rick had in The Walking Dead?" And I think this guy is legally has just as much right to own firearms as I do. But he is total, like, there ought to be like a temperament test to purchase firearms and ammunition.
Are you a goober? Yes or no?
Yeah. Are sweatpants everyday wear? should be a disqualifier right there.
Yeah. Does the idea that... You know what? I'm not even going to make that joke. Shame on me. Never mind. Okay. I'll get back to it later. Yeah, well, so did you buy anything?
No, I am looking for another shotgun, though. I want to swap out one of our shotguns.
One of our shotguns. This is not how I imagined married life, I've got to be honest.
I like saying that on the podcast just so all you folks know. Don't come down our door, please.
All right.
I'm only talking to one or two folks out
there. Yeah, and I think they know who they are. So... speaking of, no, this doesn't have anything to do with it. I just wanted to put a plug out there for Totus Tuus Camp. If anybody is still, we started our summer rather late. I know a lot of people have had the summer going on for some time now.
Well, the snow just melted.
It kind of did. Yeah, it was a very short time ago that I had to keep on telling Benny, "No, honey, that's old grass. That's dead grass." Like, she forgot what grass was supposed to look like. She would get really excited. I'd be like, "No, that's just, it came out from under the ice and it's dead. That's not..."
I know. Now we're in that sort of late June frenzy in which you can't keep up with anything outside.
Oh my gosh. It is ridiculous. I had to do the murderous task of thinning the seedlings in the garden. Aww. And I, you know what? It didn't bother me this year. And I'm a little bit worried about that. I was like, "Yeah, you bastards, get out of there. Give the other people a chance for once." Usually it's like this horrible, tragic, wrenching thing, and I try and save them, and I try and transplant them, but now it's just like, yeah.
I think you're more mindful
mindful. So anyway, Totus Tuus Camp is the place to be. It's usually about a week long, I guess, right? Is it a week long?
It's about a week.
It's a day camp. And, it's put on by the Catholic Church. It's generally run by college students, I think, maybe seminarians, something like that.
I think they try and mix it up. I don't know what organization puts it on. I forget. It's not.
You know what? I did some research on this, and I forgot. If you search my name in Totus Tuus Camp, you can find out a little bit about it.
I think they try and keep like a couple of college kids and at least one actual seminarian in the group so to sort of mix it up.
Yeah, but they did a really good job. The kids, we went for the first time last year. The kids really liked it. It was fun.
Some of them.
They went, well, the good ones. They went to Mass every day, and it didn't seem unduly burdensome to them. And I believe they just mixed together just catechism and then just regular camp fun things. My kids were much more enthusiastic about it than I expected them to be, and some of them actually want to go again this year, so we should send them up. Totus Tuus Camp, look it up.
Speaking of giving things plugs, you ought to talk about your Jesuitical nonsense.
My Jesuitical nonsense.
Yeah.
I guess I could if you want me to. I was a guest.
It's your show. I don't know.
No, it's our show. It's our nausea. I was privileged to be a guest on the new podcast being produced by America Magazine, because as I mentioned, I've been writing for America Magazine. I think I'm on sort of double secret extra probation at the moment, but I eventually expect it or hope it will turn into a monthly gig for America Magazine. And I talked to a couple of the lovely ladies there about therapy and about Catholics and about how you can't just pray mental illness away 99% of the time, and it's okay to get help, and it's not a spiritual failure, and sometimes fixing your emotional problems will actually help your spiritual life.
You know, this
not
is
as if they're
this
unrelated.
Is really only necessary if you are lax in receiving the sacrament of confession.
Right, yeah, right, that people will think...
If you go to confession enough, you are never going to need therapy.
Yeah, that's the last thing priests want, actually, because some people will go into the confessional and say, well, Father...
if you're in therapy and you're a Catholic, you've obviously been doing it wrong.
So anyway, I was in there saying, no, that is wrong. And it was a good podcast. I haven't been able to stand to listen to it because, you know, I can put these things out, but I... can't listen to them. Come I don't on. Know what I said. Come on. The person with a $50 microphone is going to listen to her own podcast? Come on. So, here's something I found out. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking about the neural network. I mean, do you remember they got their...
Yes.
They taught their computer to learn as much as it could about paint colors and paint names, and then to go ahead and invent their own. And some of them were pretty... Well, a lot of people have these neural networks, and I mean, basically what it is that you give it a ton of information of the kind of information that you want, and you let it extrapolate what the rules are, and that you let it extrapolate what kinds of things are desirable, and then it just sort of goes off on its own and says, okay, based on those rules, here's what I think would be good. So this Guinea Pig Rescue Society was suffering an influx of guinea pigs, and they were having a hard time, this story sounds a little bit fishy to be honest with you. But apparently,
too good to check, though.
It certainly is. They were having a hard time coming up with enough guinea pig names because, you know, there's Fuzzy, there's Fluffy, there's Cupcake, there's...
Bananas.
Like, yeah. we had a kid who named a dog, like, Brownadown one time, and I thought, that's not a good name.
One of their stuffed dogs.
Oh, right, it was a stuffed dog,
they also,
yes.
My favorite child toy name is Pancakes for the baby doll.
The Pancakes. Baby doll that had lost its stuffing was Pancakes. Yes.
And you put the stuffing back as a gift.
Oh, was she mad?
Yeah, it was no longer Pancakes.
It wasn't Pancakes anymore, I know. Anyway, so the person who was in charge of this particular project says, it gradually formed its own internal rules about which letters and letter combinations are most quintessentially guinea pig. So some of the, this is what the computer came up with, Pop Chop, Fuzzable, Buzzberry, After Pie.
I like that one.
Flurry White, Hanger Dan, Princess Pow, and also Stargoon. Now, Stargoon.
That was the name of the
it
paint.
It was a paint name.
Are they just putting us on?
I don't know. Who's putting us on? The people who are in charge or the computers?
The people who are putting the story
on. Computers are
putting... Well, did you read in the New York Post and a bunch of papers actually ran a story on these breatharians, this couple who subsist on the energy of the universe and occasionally broth.
Right, and supposedly the whole time she was pregnant, she only ate solid food 3 times, and she gave birth to an 11-pound baby. It could walk when it was first
And the story was run unchallenged
in
a bunch of newspapers, and it was weird because the whole thing about being a reporter is you're the one guy in the world with a functioning bullshit detector, and when somebody says, I'm a breatharian, you talk to a medical doctor and publish the medical doctor saying, no, that's horseshit.
Right, and you don't have to necessarily make a judgment, but part of the story is, well, what do people who actually know about
this
think?
Just ran it, they just like copied and pasted all the same story put out by this one feature service. It's this this little company that just writes off-ball weird features and sells it to the British tabloids, they sell it to the American tabloids, so papers will just pay for it and pick it up, and yeah, maybe they'll change some stuff around and slap a byline on it and run it.
Yep. I know. And not only is it just bad for the mind in general to be given this kind of thing and for it to be called news, but that in particular story was really dangerous because you know there are people out there who will believe anything. They'll think, well, this is a way that I can be healthy. I'll just stop eating. And they'll do it and they'll die. I mean, it will absolutely happen. So, boy, oh, boy, that is just... But you know what? I got to say, I heard you say off-ball.
Yes.
And I had a guinea pig named Off-Ball.
Oh, did you really?
No, I didn't. We had guinea pigs in fifth grade in our classroom, and I hated those things. They were so horrible. They were just... You couldn't tell which side was the face and which side was the butt, and they never did anything. They looked so hot all the time. And they would scream at terrible moments.
Yes.
I was like, why the hell do people want these things? These things should have been bred out of existence years ago. There's
no, but they exist in the wild.
Yeah, that's what I've
heard. There was, again, in New York a few years ago, and this actually did happen. Some South American emigre was stopped by the police because he started barbecuing guinea pigs in Central Park. So... And there was pictures of him, and he had them on, like, these sticks where he was roasting them.
Wait a minute. And did a reporter challenge that? Did he go to a guinea pig expert and find out how much flesh is actually on one of those suckers?
It's a thing. People do eat them.
They're so hairy, though.
Yeah, but they're like, you know, it would be like eating a squirrel, I guess.
No, yeah, I know. I mean, if I was hungry.
Maybe a chunkier squirrel. Or is it all hair? I don't know.
That's the thing. It's like, what are you getting when you get a guinea pig? I don't even know. Like, what shape is it? I don't know. Is it going to scream? Is it dead? I don't know.
When you get down to it, all pets, at the end of the day, they're just emergency protein.
Well, I remember when we used to have that big fat catfish. We went through a tough time, and that thing used to look so delicious.
He wasn't very big, though. He wasn't that big.
Well, he looked big to me. Yeah. It was like on, you know, when Yosemite Sam or something is on a desert island, and he starts every time he looks at Daffy Duck, it looks like a roast chicken.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
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 But, and now we have a lot of pets, so that's, I guess we're rich now. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're having fish tacos tomorrow, too. So.
Yeah.
So figure that one out. Oh. But, Damien, not to beat a dead horse or anything. Another neural network, I'm sorry, I'm just a sucker for these things. Another neural network was set to work making up names of heavy metal bands. This is promising.
Is Stargoon in there?
Stargoon is not in there.
Okay.
Strangely enough, I'm not sure what genre of music Stargoon would be. Maybe like alt folk or something?
Glam rock?
Maybe. All right, but here's a couple of the ones that...
Definitely post-punk.
Yeah. This is what the computer came up with. Death House. Dragon Red of Blood, Death Crack, Vermit, Storm Garden, Swillil, I don't even know, Inhuman Sand, here's my favorite, Chaos Warg Le Plague.
That's a good one. I would see those.
Yeah.
All right, have you seen any bands live?
Have I seen, okay, all right, I guess it's some sort of payback or something.
I have seen
one band live. I saw the Moody Blues live when I was in high school, and that is the only band that I have actually seen live.
All right, that's pretty embarrassing.
It was horrible. You know, they're not very good, and their music isn't very good.
I'll come clean. The most embarrassing act I've seen live?
Yeah.
Julian Lennon.
Oh.
Yeah. That was pretty bad. Pretty bad.
Did everybody just kind of sit down, because why would you stand up?
It was kind of like...
Huh. That poor guy. Yeah. Good heavens. Can you imagine being John Lennon's son? I have such bad feeling toward John Lennon lately.
Well,
He was a horrible person. I don't know why he keeps on turning up in the news. Somebody tried to get me to somebody tried to egg me on to say that people are stupid when they get upset about the song Imagine. And I was like, no, it's
a dreadful song.
It's the worst song in the world. It's like
You set the lyrics aside, and the lyrics are really
okay. The lyrics are dreadful, right? And the fact that, I mean, like, Catholics like it sometimes. I've heard this way too often. Like, youth ministers and priests will play it during mass.
I haven't heard it during mass, but it came up a lot when I was in Catholic school as part of the religion classes I was in.
Strange. That's like going to culinary school and saying you should be a breatharian. You know?
Exactly.
it does not compute.
If you were, say, all right, let's ignore the lyrics.
Yep.
The song itself sucks.
Doesn't it? Doesn't it? I mean, it's one of those very first draft songs for, like, one thing.
It's, if you wanted to sit down and say, I'm going to create something on the piano that sounds like droning.
Right.
Well,
like,
if that was the intent, A+.
Yeah, I know. Like, we're aiming for a 14-year-old girl who feels like she doesn't really fit in with the others. You know, this is my target audience here, and she's going to be really moved. And then any time somebody sits down and starts...
Oh, man, it's just the worst.
Oh, you want to get a machete and just start hacking at people.
This is, I mean, when you think about the songs that this guy actually wrote, The Ballad of John and Yoko,
yep.
Revolution,
yep.
Instant Karma,
yep.
Really subversive, funny, witty songs.
Mm-hmm.
And this and crap this, is he's going to be remembered
for. I know, that
for.
Just makes, I mean, it, that is... makes it all I hope he didn't like it. I hope, well.
He's got his own deal.
He's got his own deal, I'm sure. That's on the list.
Yeah.
Let me put it that way.
Exactly.
Imagine is on the list. Oh boy, oh boy. I mean, do not consider what is on my list, of course. What was truly on
my
list.
Oh, we know.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure you know.
I'm sure. All well, right. Just check the register com box.
Which is still open, by the way. You know, it was so terribly undesirable to have me write for the
register.
Those bastards
still get clicks from you?
Of course they do. I link to them myself because I'm too lazy to reprint stuff. That's okay.
Those cheap backstabbing crap weasels.
Well, I would call them more cheap crap weaseling backstabbers. Yeah. Let's not get carried away. Oh, I heard of something nice. Belmont Abbey College, which is one of the colleges that our kids pretty seriously considered going to, working with the Knights of Columbus, have opened a maternity home right on campus. They've got 4 acres, and it's for college girls who find themselves pregnant and they don't want to have an abortion, and they don't want to give their baby up for adoption because that's really, really hard to do, and they don't want to drop out of college and be poor for the rest of their lives. So they have this place. I think it has room for, I think it said 22 women and their children and their babies and their toddlers. They get their own bedroom. They get their own bathroom. They got to share a kitchen. It's got... And
this is amazing.
I know. It's almost like
wonderful.
Pro-life or something, right?
Yeah.
Because as somebody has pointed out, having a baby out of wedlock is not a sin. Having sex out of wedlock is a sin, but actually having the baby, there's nothing sinful about that. Once
right.
you're already pregnant, the only thing to do is to have the baby.
Babies
so
are always good news. Babies are
right.
always good news.
Exactly. And it's our job to make it feel like good news to everybody who's connected with it. So hooray, Belmont Abbey, good for them. It's not a brand new thing, actually, but it's been bopping around in the news lately. Yeah, I think it's great.
Well, that was, you know, there was that Christian, I don't know if it was Catholic, but that Christian high school that basically kicked the pregnant girl out.
Yeah, I know. As if she was the only one who
right.
wasn't a virgin in that class. She was the only one who happened to actually have her baby. I know. It's so backwards. And the idea that, like, oh, well, we want to set an example. We want to show kids that this isn't acceptable. That ship has sailed. You know,
right.
sorry, folks. You know, there's not going to be any value in making it socially unacceptable at this point because it's socially acceptable. It just is. So the only really only
to,
thing
that
we can do is
to you've got
to
work with
to
what
be,
you've got.
Right, exactly.
There was a girl at a recent high school graduation we attended,
mm-hmm.
And she was there. She had, the feet, the baby's feet.
Yeah.
For the pro-life, you see it on the pin all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she had it on her head thingy.
Oh,
what do you call it? The mortarboard.
Mortarboard thing, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's nice. Well, she gets out, and we're all, like, mingling. And there she is, after the graduation, holding her baby.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was a cute baby. Oh, my goodness. So that was really...
That's very sweet. I didn't realize that. I saw the girl holding the baby, but I didn't know she had the hat. That's adorable.
That was really, it was quite nice to see that.
Yeah. One of the kids says that at the high school, they have a daycare at the high school. And I don't know if it's for people who are attending the high school or if it's people who are learning about childcare and they help out at the daycare or something like that.
That's usually what they do. They'll have
the
school will run a daycare for an educational
Right.
Enterprise, so the kids can learn how to...
Anyway, on Halloween, they all get dressed up and they parade through the high school and everybody turns into a puddle on the floor, just a damp spot on the floor. Oh, my goodness.
That's amazing.
You know, a lot of people are doing programs of intermingling people of different ages. You know, there was this Roots of Empathy program where they would bring a baby into a classroom because these are kids who are being brought up... You know, they're being brought up by their grandmothers a lot of the time, and they don't have that. Either the siblings are broken apart, or they're in foster homes, or something like that. I mean, their families are just a mess.
Well, they don't have siblings anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's that's the other thing.
My uncle, who is a bishop, before he was a bishop, hearing confessions of little kids, first confessions when he was a pastor, and you know, that's when he realized. You know, they're talking about conflicts with their. Cousins, because they all live with their cousins, because no one has brothers and sisters anymore.
So anyway, people, and not only is it just sad in itself, but people are, when you miss out on putting yourself in the shoes of somebody else who is on a different level from you, then you don't learn empathy in the same way that you would when you have. I mean, that is one thing that we've done right with our kids. You know, maybe not necessarily intentionally, but they're pretty good at trying to figure out what the other person needs, even if it's not. I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but it's good. It's good to have people. It's good to mingle with people who are in a different state of life from you.
Well, that's what I love about the school our kids go to.
Yeah,
all of the classes have lunch together. They all hang out together. You know, so
yeah, they do that intentionally. Yeah. They don't keep them segregated by age.
So it's really nice.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a good thing to look for in a school. We looked at a school one time where the principal says, and don't worry, the older kids never get in with the younger kids, so you don't need to worry about that. But why are they all?
Well, I would worry with some of those kids. Yeah.
Oh boy. Anyway, I have a poem to read. I have a Dylan Thomas poem to read.
Oh yay! I love Dylan Thomas.
It's a little bit longer. Than some of the poems I've been reading, but it's so...
Go for it.
Get ready to turn into a stargoon. or an off-ball. It's a little bit off-ball.
Well, let's go for it.
All right. Fern Hill by Dylan Thomas. Now as I was young and easy under the apple boughs about the lilting house and happy as the grass was green, the night above the dingle starry, time let me hail and climb golden in the heydays of his eyes. And honored among wagons, I was prince of the apple towns. And once below a time, I lordly had the leaves and trees trail with daisies and barley down to the rivers of the windfall light. And as I was green and carefree, famous among the barns, about the happy yard and singing as the farm was home, in the sun that is young once only, time let me play and be golden in the mercy of his means. And green and golden, I was huntsman and herdsman. The calves sang to my horn. The foxes on the hills barked clear and cold. And the Sabbath rang slowly in the pebbles of the holy streams. All the sun long, it was running. It was lovely. The hay fields high as the house. The tunes from the chimneys, it was air and playing, lovely and watery, and fire green as grass. And nightly under the simple stars, as I rode to sleep, the owls were bearing the farm away. All the moon long I heard, blessed among stables, the night jars flying with the ricks and the horses flashing into the dark. And then to awake and the farm like a wanderer white with the dew come back, the cock on his shoulder, it was all shining. It was Adam and maiden. The sky gathered again and the sun grew round that very day. So it must have been after the birth of the simple light in the first spinning place, the spellbound horses walking warm out of the whinnying green stable onto the fields of praise. And honored among foxes and pheasants by the gay house under the new-made clouds and happy as the heart was long, in the sun born over and over, I ran my heedless ways. My wishes raced through the house-high hay, and nothing I cared at my sky-blue trades that time allows in all his tuneful turning so few and such morning songs. Before the children, green and golden, follow him out of grace. Nothing I cared in the lamb-white days that time would take me up to the swallow-thronged loft by the shadow of my hand in the moon that is always rising, nor that riding to sleep I should hear him fly with the high fields and wake to the farm forever fled from the childless land. Oh, as I was young and easy in the mercy of his means, time held me green and dying, though I sang in my chains like the sea.
Very nice.
Dylan Thomas.
That was not too woomy to me either.
No. Yeah, he was a little, that was a little off ball with the woman to himself.
Well, it was a good phase to go through, I guess.
Yeah, no, I mean, everybody hurts sometimes. Yes, he did. I would rather woman to him with Dylan Thomas than anybody else. That's
certainly
for sure.
More so than John Lennon.
More so than Absolutely. I was exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. And I should hope that John Lennon would have the same good sense. I mean, he, you know, he was all right.
He gave a lot to charity, I guess.
All right, you star goons. I'll see you next time.